Turn with me, if you will, to Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1, beginning at verse 6. Don't worry about that bag up there. Don't even let it bother you. Don't pay it any attention. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. Remember that this is God's word to his people, probably as they have come back into Jerusalem and they have at least begun, if not completed, the temple and are beginning to worship the Lord again together. And this is what God says. A son honors his father and a servant his master. The disrespect that we know in our culture today was not common in that day as it is today. And God says, if I'm a father, if I'm your master, if I'm your father and you are my children, which was a tremendous privilege, he says, if I am a father, where is the honor due me? This is where this passage or this book of the Bible gets rather difficult. This isn't for the faint of heart. It's the Word of God. And he says to his children, if I am your father, then where is the honor that's due me? If I am a master, where is the respect due me? Says the Lord Almighty. And this is where it gets extremely painful, because he directs his words specifically at leadership. And he says, it is you, O priests, who show contempt for my name. Well, no, surely not, God. Surely the leaders in worship don't show contempt for your name. They're the ones that try to draw attention to your name. But you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? I want you to see what was happening. You place defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled you by saying that the Lord's table is contemptible when you bring blind animals for sacrifice? Is that not wrong? When you sacrifice crippled or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you, says the Lord Almighty? There were specific commands about the sacrifices. Leviticus, Deuteronomy gave specific instruction that they weren't to bring anything but a spotless male sacrifice. Why was that? Because God wanted the sacrificial animals to point to the coming sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ. He had to be perfect. He had to be spotless. He had to be without sin, as Peter clearly makes it known. For if Jesus weren't spotless, he could give me nothing of his righteousness. He could only exchange at Calvary his sin for mine, unless he was perfectly righteous and sinless. And God knew when he instituted the sacrificial system in the Old Testament that those sacrifices would paint a picture for Israel to look forward to the coming of Christ. And so when they were bringing less than spotless male animals to sacrifice to the living God as a picture of the coming of Christ, they were skewing the gospel. They were proclaiming, in essence, a false gospel. Why would these priests do that? Well, that's where they received their payment, so to speak, to live on. And maybe they knew that times were tough economically. And maybe they were fearful if they didn't receive these deformed animals, they wouldn't receive anything at all. And note that it's not so much the people here that God speaks against, but it's the priests who allowed such sacrifice and worship to happen. Now, implore God to be gracious to us with such offerings from your hands. Will he accept you, says the Lord Almighty? God's telling them to change what they're doing. Verse 10, "Oh, that one of you would shut the temple doors so that you would not light useless fires on my altar." You know what God just said? "I'd rather you not even show up than to bring this junk on my altar." "Oh, but God, we're at least we're here." "I'd rather you shut the doors." That's pretty strong, don't you think? He says, "I am not pleased with you, says the Lord Almighty, and I will accept no offering from your hands. My name will be great among the nations, from the rising to the setting of the sun. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to my name, because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. But you profane it by saying of the Lord's table, it is defiled, and of its food, it is contemptible. And you say, what a burden. And you sniff at it contemptuously, says the Lord Almighty. When you bring injured, crippled, or diseased animals and offer them as sacrifices, should I accept them from your hands, says the Lord? Cursed is the cheat who has an acceptable male in his flock and vows to give it, but then sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord Almighty, and my name is to be feared among the nations. You've been told how to worship, and you're being disobedient. You're even making a vow so as to look pious, and then you're breaking that vow. Verse 1 of chapter 2, "And now this admonition is for you, O priests. If you do not listen, and if you do not set your heart to honor my name, says the Lord Almighty, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have already cursed them because you have not set your heart to honor me. Because of you, I will rebuke your descendants. I will spread on your faces the offal from your festival sacrifices, and you will be carried off with it. And you will know that I have sent you this admonition so that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord Almighty." It was the Levite people that God had put in charge of taking care of the worship in the temple of God where his presence met with his people. "My covenant was with him, a covenant of life and peace, and I gave them to him. This called for reverence, and he revered me and stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and nothing false was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness and turned away from sin. For the lips of a priest ought to preserve knowledge, and from his mouth men should seek instruction, because he is the messenger of the Lord Almighty. But you have turned from the way, and by your teaching have caused many to stumble. You have violated the covenant with Levi, says the Lord Almighty. So I have caused you to be despised and humiliated before all the people, because you have not followed my ways, but have shown partiality in matters of the law." Will you pray with me? Father, wow. This one's not fun. I pray that you'd give us ears to hear. I pray, God, that we would come through this passage of Scripture in such a way that we can rejoice on the other end by your grace alone. Instruct us, Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Yesterday, Jesse and I ran a few errands and we grabbed a late lunch at Moe's. Out of the goodness of my heart, I've saved a few chips just for you. And even some queso dip. It's fresh, it's yesterday. I think they're probably still crunchy. Well, kinda. And I don't think I even I don't remember if I double dipped, but I don't have cooties, so afterwards I brought this just for y'all. Ain't that good of me? just to share my yesterday lunch with you. Why'd I do that? Because that's what God said to the priests in Malachi. You're bringing me your leftovers. Now, thankfully, that doesn't happen anywhere today. That ended with the Old Testament. See, God had told them, you don't bring this kind of sacrifice, you bring this kind. But for whatever reasons the priests might have come up with, they chose to allow the worship of the living God to be compromised. If there's one thing at Faith Church that we better get right, it better be the worship of the living God, and we'd better not compromise it. What would he say were he to pen a letter today, Malachi, second Malachi, and he penned it to Faith Church? And he wrote to us this topic of worship, and he talked to us about our worship. What would our God say? See, I think tucked away in the middle of this is the heart of what God wants us to know and do and be. Chapter 2, verse 2. If you do not listen, and if you do not set your heart to honor my name, that seems to be the crux of the matter. That seems to be the most important part of what God's talking to the priests and the people about. He says, honor me. That's what God tells his people to do. And so I hope you're asking the question, well, how, what is it that he wants us to do? How do we honor God? 2 points. You honor God, start with your heart. Start with your heart. Go back with me a few books to the book of Isaiah. Flip back, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 29. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. You heard me read where that was quoted in Matthew chapter 15 in the sermon sack. It comes from Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13, and the Lord says, these people come near with me, come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up only of rules taught by men. That's repeated in Matthew chapter 15. Go, if you will, toward the end of the New Testament to Ephesians, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, and then Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. You remember it because it talks about the armor of God and the spiritual battle. Right before that, in admonishing Paul, admonishing the church at Ephesus and speaking about slaves and masters, look what he says in verse 6. Obey them, Ephesians 6:6, not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord. What does God's word have to say about the heart? It seems to me that as Malachi records these words, that as God speaks to his people, the heart is of utmost importance. Do you know that you can show up on Sunday morning and you can sing like everybody else? You can even write a hefty check and put it in the offering plate. You can greet one another. You can listen while an elder is leading in prayer and not worship the living God and hear him say things like, I will not receive your worship. and hear him say things like, "I'd rather you just shut the doors." And why is that? What's missing? Go back to the sermon sack and the cup. There's no cup of coffee because there's no coffee in it. There's no worship because there's no heart to it. Now I want to encourage some of you that the heart is the important part. Not the voice, but the heart. Start with your heart if you want to honor God. Not with the various elements of worship or the worship service. I think David understood the significance of the heart and the rightness of your heart with God. And you know this, but I encourage you with it. The cross of Christ that we sang about to begin with is the only thing that can prepare your heart to meet with the living God. And so if you don't know Christ, you have to come to Him, or you can't worship. If you know Christ, you still need to come to Him to understand that God will receive you only through Him. David understood that, and in the end of Psalm 39, I want this to be a prayer, and I just want to stop for a moment, and I want you to do a little soul searching, as did David at the end of Psalm 139. So bow your head with me. If indeed the heart is where we start to worship the living God, how's your heart? Distracted? Because you're looking at something or someone other than God? Downcast because you have failed the living God? You've sinned against Him? Will you dare pray before the living God, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Father, we want to start with the heart. And so if there are things in between my heart and your heart, if there is sin between our hearts and your heart, would you gently yet firmly lead us to the cross of Christ? We want to worship uninhibited. We have forgotten what an awesome privilege it is that you would receive our worship. You can obtain worship from the rocks and the trees, and you have chosen to allow us that privilege. May we see it as such, and may we be moved at the core, at the heart. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Is your heart out of focus, or has He focused it on Him? Does it need to be retooled? I would encourage you to prayerfully consider the first five verses of Malachi chapter 1, where God begins by letting His children know that He loves them. Although they didn't understand it, it didn't change the fact. And He even recognizes their relationship as His children in verse 6. Realize what a privilege that worship is. All of us, ultimately, I believe, will worship someone or something, ourselves, someone else, something else. You and I have been granted the privilege of worshiping He who will never let us down. He who alone can sustain our worship. So start with the heart. Listen to the Word of God. Let His Word search your heart. Let it serve as a mirror to point out those things, that sin, whatever it might be that's in between your heart and His, and take it to the cross. Take His Word seriously, as it seems these priests were not doing. Desire what He desires. Some of you know that Tim has been putting the finishing touches on a 1996 Saturn that was in trouble. Oh, you could turn the key on and watch the windows go up and down. You could turn the radio on and listen to the joyous sounds on the radio. But I wouldn't encourage you to drive the car down the road. You could even get in and pull the little trunk release and see the trunk lid come up. But don't drive it, because in the heart of the engine there was a serious problem. And I don't know that, but maybe God wants to put His finger on your heart and mine. And it's time to stop playing worship if that's where you are. I know it's not where all of you are, because I hear your heart sing. But some of you have a heart that's not singing. Is that possibly you? Maybe there's something that's got your heart out of focus. Would you hear God's word? Would you let Him do some heart surgery? Would you dare ask Him? He is the great physician. Start with your heart. If you would honor God, don't start with the songs or the offering plate. Don't start with the prayers. Start with the heart. Lay your heart bare before the Lord. Why don't you take some time today? If God's Spirit is just kind of tapping your heart, would you just carve out some time today and say, God, I'm not going to walk away from this one. I'm going to sit at your feet, and I'm going to let you carve away on my heart. Maybe you're sitting next to somebody whose heart is overjoyed in worship, and you want a heart like that, but yours isn't there. Man, take some time. Christ can change your heart. Start with the heart. Honor God. Second of all, practice with your life. Start with the heart, practice with your life. And I specifically chose that word practice because I don't know anybody who's got it all figured out and has got it down perfectly and doesn't still struggle. Romans chapter 12, listen to these words. You know these words. Verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. It would seem to me that the issue was evident because of what the priests were allowing to happen in the worship of the living God, or I would say in the attempt of worshiping the living God, because real worship wasn't happening. They were struggling. I think the real issue was the heart. I think they were distracted. I think they were looking at other things other than God. Maybe fear had entered into the picture. I don't know. But it wasn't the right reverential awe that they needed. It was fear of something else, if fear was the driving force. And God called on them to change their hearts or have their hearts changed. Start there. And then when the heart's changed, it affects the way we worship the living God. You can pretend, but you'll know it and God will know it. And true worship, the kind where you experience the joy of His presence, starts here and works its way out here. Once your heart is changed by the living Christ, it will affect the way that you sing to Him. It will affect the way that you give to Him. It will affect the way that you pray to Him. It will even affect the way you listen to Him. So start with the heart, but then practice with your life. Follow through in obedience to Him. Offer yourselves to Him as a living sacrifice. Flip over one book from Romans to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. There he's talking about in the context of sexual morality and the immorality that was going on in Corinth. And he wraps that passage or paragraph up at the end of chapter 6 with these words: "You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." Practice with your life. When God changes your heart, let it affect your life. Begin to search His Word with what honors God, what pleases Him, what He accepts as rightful worship. There was an epitaph found on the tombstone of a Cavalier soldier who had sold all of his possessions for the royalist cause. He met his death on the battlefield against the Roundheads. The epitaph read, "He served King Charles with a constant, dangerous, and expensive loyalty." Can we do less for our God? Don't try to fake God out with your actions. Just practice obedience to His Word. That didn't work out so well for Ananias and Sapphira, who sold property and wanted everybody to think that they were giving everything to God, and so they lied about it and only gave Him part. Don't try to fake Him out. Simply practice with your lives obedience to His Word. Don't give God the leftovers. Don't give Him your leftover time. Don't give Him your leftover energy. Don't give God your leftover stuff or money. It's all His. He gives to you life and all good things. Ask Him what to do with the time and energy and stuff. What, God, do You want me to do with this? The skills, the abilities. Give it all to Him. Practice with your lives. On a rainy Sunday afternoon, a little brother and sister were playing Noah and the Ark. An old shoebox was the Ark. The bathtub was their flood. After the flood was over, they decided to make an offering to God. Noah, the boy, said to Mrs. Noah, the girl, "Here, take one of your toy animals as a sacrifice." "No," she replied. "Let's use one of your animals instead." When they couldn't agree, they compromised and they ran to the attic. In a moment, she was back with a toy lamb. It was dirty, its head was smashed, its tail was missing. "Here," she cried, "let's give this as a sacrifice. We'll never want it again." Her brother agreed and they made their sacrifice. I read the passage in John chapter 12 where Jesus is with some of His friends. And there's an incredible contrast as Mary breaks out this very expensive perfume and pours it on Jesus. Remember Judas? Why wasn't that sold and given to the poor? Well, you know why Judas did that. Because if it was sold for the poor, the money would go into the treasury, and he had charge of the treasury, and he could get some of that money into his hands to do the things that he wanted. He didn't care about the poor, and he didn't care about his Christ. But Mary did. The honorable mention was an important military award of the Kingdom of the Netherlands. It was for those who distinguished themselves by acts of high bravery, but weren't yet eligible for the highest accolade, the Military William Order. In fact, the honorable mention was not a medal, but a mention in the proclamation of the Dutch army to honor the soldier. Webster's dictionary defines it as such: a distinction conferred as in a contest or exhibition on works of persons of exceptional merit, but not deserving top honors. I trust you're not giving God an honorable mention. Honor Him with more than a mention. Start with your heart. Park it before the Word of God. Ask Him to change your heart from the inside out. Practice with your life. Faith Church, can I just encourage you that I see God at work in your hearts? And the evidence is in the practice. No more honorable mentions. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Let's worship Him as such. Pray with me. Father, forgive us. Search our hearts if we've given you any leftovers, if we've reduced worship to an honorable mention, if we haven't made worship the priority of our lives. God, would you challenge our hearts? Would you do the necessary surgery? Would you convict us, Holy Spirit, of sin? Would you show us those things that would distract us? Would you indeed bring us to the heart of worship, your heart? And would you teach us how to practice with our lives? May we worship you from the heart, Lord Jesus, we pray in your name. Amen.